Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algy, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy.
Welcome to Ages of Rock podcast number 39. We got a three and a... nine. There we go. I can't count.
You can use his fingers.
I got the one there. Okay. Anyway, this episode is
we're going to call it Dumb, Dumber, and Dennis.
We're going to call it.
Wait a minute.
The 80s, more than just hair. So, you know what we're going to be talking about here? We're going to be talking about some 80s music, all kinds. See, maybe even choked up Alan. He's all choked up.
Would that be the shaved 80s music? Or
no, anyway, no. I had a couple things. But you guys got anything else before we get into this topic? Any kind of news or any kind of just mentions or comments?
No, it's been kind of a squirrely week for me, so been kind of off grid.
Okay.
Other than my interesting Snapchat pictures I've been putting on Facebook.
You have been putting some interesting Snapchats up.
Yeah, it disturbs my mother-in-law, so that makes it a bonus.
That's the whole purpose for being.
Exactly.
Yeah, yep. We were riding in the car the other day, and Noah just looked at me and he goes, I think I'd really like to see Poison. You think they're going to go on tour? I was like, oh, sure. Yeah, like next summer they're going on tour because they're going to do the 30th anniversary tour. Do what?
I've heard it was Poison and Def Leppard.
Oh, God, really?
That's what I heard.
Okay.
I don't want to do that again. I don't want to see Def Leppard again. That was once too many. Ugh. Well, that's good. I can go home early.
There you go. I did have a correction from last week that I wanted to make known.
Correction?
We're never correct. You're right, Bill.
No, not correction. It's a more of a statement.
Clarification?
Clarification. You ask what kind of retro show or what would you call it? You said it was a reminiscent show or if you wanted to – what three bands?
That way too complicated.
What three bands would you like to see next summer?
I'm pretty sure that's what I said. Nostalgia. I use
nostalgia.
The word
nostalgia. That's the word I'm looking for. I put a little bit more thought into it because, you know, I kind of just threw out some stuff there off the top of my head. I'm not real good at thinking off the top of my head. And I did text you guys this, but I thought it would be kind of interesting. I thought and this is no specific order, and everybody plays the same amount of time, but I would like to see Blondie, Pat Benatar, and Loverboy in a triple bill. I think that would be a really good show. Number one, they all still have their voices. They all still can sing. I know I've just seen something out with Mike Reno here recently.
Really?
He's still got a great voice. He weighs about 300 pounds more than he used to, but he's still
turning into Meatloaf.
He has.
He can't go by Meatloaf. He has to go by Pot Roast.
Pot Roast. That's right. That's Meatloaf is trademark.
And also too, if you've seen the what's that new Pixar movie or that new movie with the rated R food
Sausage Party?
Have any
that
of you
not,
seen
is that
it?
A Pixar
seen
movie?
It?
It's not a Pixar.
It's not
movie.
Pixar.
It's not
but
a Pixar movie.
Have you guys either of you seen that?
It's a Dixar movie.
There is a great Meatloaf reference in that movie, and it's hilarious. So
yeah, that's a Seth Rogen movie.
Yeah,
I went and seen it. It was actually not quite as funny as I thought, but. Was going to be, but it was pretty decent.
Well, like Bill said, it was a Seth Rogen movie.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Yeah. Alrighty. And I think that I had something else.
You know, I did listen to a podcast the other day, you know, interview with Stephen Piercy, which is really cool. There's a really good chance that you could see Warren and Stephen and Juan back together to do a little Rat reunion. I mean,
Bobby
gonna
be there.
That would be like the real. Oh, I think I'm pretty sure from what I heard on there that Bobby's not invited.
that was the impression that I got.
Yeah, and then you know, I guess the other thing I saw
he
too
is the B word. You don't mention the B word.
Yeah. And Sammy has apologized to Van Halen. They've kissed and made up to prep for the 2017 reunion tour to keep the cash cow flowing.
Yeah. Well, I think our buddy Mitch predicted that last year.
He did. Yep. Yeah. So that'd be a good, like Van Halen and Rat, that'd be a good show.
So speaking of apologies, did you notice that that Richie Sambora sent Bon Jovi that little video message about, you know, congratulations on your new single? Him and that, and correct me if I'm wrong, Orianti. And they both was like, oh, congratulations. Now, is that a, you know, John, let me back in the band so I can make some money and stop touring these little clubs?
Well, have you heard that song?
No, I have not.
John should take him up his offer.
It's really bad. I have yet to hear anything good about.
Hey, it must have been good because he got a some college gave him a degree today. So for just being a singer,
it's not a very good song.
If we let you be a doctor, will you please never ever sing that song?
I mean, this
happened at work today. This is funny, and no disregard or disrespect to anyone. But Alan's over here getting ready to hit the key going, I'm going to pause this real quick. No, have you seen the Dee Snider piano version of?
I have not seen it. I saw a screenshot of it.
I saw a screenshot of it, and I couldn't get past the fact that he's a 60-some-year-old guy with hair. Come on.
Well, Chris Angel directed this thing.
He
so
looks
he's
like an
all
old witch.
Flowing, and it's all.
He does.
I mean, it looks. So we were at lunch today, and I said, I asked my friend Mike, I said, he's the guy I went to Van Halen with, and we talk about music all the time. And I said, do we listen to this or do we not listen to it? And he goes, let's listen to it. We got through about 26 seconds of it. And it's for, and I felt bad because it's a charity for, or a thing for children's cancer to bring awareness to children's cancer.
I'll give him $5 not to play it.
That's what we figured. If everybody sends $100 to Dee Snider for this thing, he won't play this video ever again. That's what we're hoping is going to happen.
Well, while you're on the topic of new stuff on the internet, I posted the new Metallica song on our Facebook page the other day, and
it was popular.
Apparently, I'm the only one that has any taste here because I was the only one that liked it.
Oh, we had some great responses on
that,
though.
Yeah, there were some great responses.
There were. Yeah.
Bill, I mean, I'm on board with Bill on that one because.
Well, I just like to give you guys a hard time. I mean,
50-year-old guys just seeing how fast they can play, basically, is what I got the same thing out of it. I did like the fact that they did cuss and they said some funny words in their song. But other than that, it was trash. I mean, it was just complete. But it did sound.
I guess there was better than anything on Saint Anger.
It sounded a lot like Ride the Lightning, off that stuff on the album, the real old stuff. So they did kind of go back retro, but yeah.
I guess there is some validity. You know, you keep hearing all these guys that are in bands that talk about, is there really a reason to make new music?
Right.
And the answer is no.
It's to do it for I mean, they're doing it for themselves. I mean, they're not going to make any money.
Well, but, you know, it's not about that. I mean, as much as I get mad about going to see Kiss and they play the same songs all the time, that's what people really want to hear. I mean, maybe not us, but
no.
So when I go to see Metallica, I don't want to hear that song. Or if I go see, you know, Bon Jovi, I don't want to hear that crap off a new album. I don't want to hear any crap off the last three albums.
No.
You know, I just don't want to hear that stuff.
I don't want to hear anything past New Jersey.
Well, that's my point. And I think that's I really do believe that as much as we've griped and moaned about some bands that do that
right.
or play certain things, I think there's a reason. They really – nobody wants to hear that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I've had that conversation with people before, you know. If I go see Kiss and they play Love 'Em and Leave 'Em or they play Mr. Speed or they play Strange Ways, I'm going to wet my panties. Everybody else in the audience is going to be like, what the hell is that? You know,
right.
I go to see Journey, if it's not on that Greatest Hits album that I got, I don't care.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. So the other band's going out. Striper's going out this fall, and they're going to do "To Hell with the Devil." Is going to be
they're going to be around kind of close. I don't know, St. Louis, yeah. Nashville. So
I'd like to go. I'd like to try to catch that show.
I would too. I'd like to try to. The one in Nashville is to be announced. They haven't announced where it's going to be yet.
Yeah,
they're playing smaller clubs. So
yeah, it'd be awesome to try to catch something like that. But you know, they're and that's you know, they ask. I heard an interview with Michael Sweet, and he said, you know. I do new music that's solo music. Is Striper going to do new stuff? I don't know. And we did it something not long ago, but, you know, it is what it is. And then Paul Stanley even recently said he'd like to do a new album, but he didn't want it to sound like he actually said this. He didn't want it to sound like the next and the next and a new version of this or a new version of that. He wants it to be different. And
so we're not doing Destroyer again.
Oh, it's going to sound
for
like
the 14th time. No,
yeah, it's
going to be but Destroyer. I think that, you know, they got to either. And he said it's really for them. It really isn't about anybody else, to Dennis's point, which is true. But
yeah, you're going to have,
you know, you're not going to make any money that on stuff. It, so. And, you know, that's when you go get a pee break.
Yeah.
Guitar solos. And when they go, here's a song off our new album, it's time for you to go to the restroom. Yeah. Have a great time. Get a beer.
Enjoy your poop.
Come on, poople.
People. Good Lord.
Anyway.
Right in all the toilet. Yeah.
You ready, you guys ready to start this?
Yes.
All right. So let's start this. Anyway, I did quite a bit of research on this. And not just research for facts and stuff. It was just going and kind of reminiscing about
just facts, so
no shit. Okay, sorry, Billy, there's no facts involved. But no, it was a matter of just going back and just kind of looking at the 80s now, you know. It's been, what, now 30 years, you know, 30-something years now, 36 years, actually, if you want to go back to the beginning of the 80s, of how much that era brought in. And once I come to the conclusion is, if you couldn't find something in the 80s that you didn't like, you're just a real pain in the ass, because everything was at its peak in the 80s. And I actually tried to find today, I was trying to find out, record sales per decade to see if the 80s had to be the peak of the record sales, because that's right before the internet came in and people were still buying, you know, he had albums selling millions and millions and millions.
And you also have to factor in the fact that people were buying vinyl, were buying cassettes, and then when they come out on CD, they were replacing all of their stuff with CD. So everything was getting bought three times, at least two times.
Exactly, because that's one thing I was going to bring up later, but the fact of
you.
It's one of these things. When CDs did come out, I went back and bought basically everything I had on album and cassette again. So basically that double bought everything, and everybody did. I mean, everybody's like, oh my gosh, we got to have it on the CD. But you look back to... Look at the bands. I mean, you had our hair band people that we, you know, that's the kind of thing that we all cling on to and like. You know, metal did well through then. You had people like, you know, Ronnie James Dio. You had people like Ozzy. You know, they boomed in the 80s. Then you go into some of the 70s bands continued on through the 80s. You had Journey, Foreigner, that had some of their biggest hits in the 80s. Then you had people from a long time ago, the 60s, having these, you know, complete turnarounds. David Bowie, you had Tina Turner, people like that coming back and having another career, almost a second career in the 80s.
Starship. One of the biggest songs.
And then you got people who were in bigger bands that either broke up or just peeled off. You had Peter Gabriel, who was in Genesis, you know, and then you had Phil Collins, also from Genesis, have a huge career. You know the Eagles dropped out in the 80s, but then you had Glenn Frey, and then you had Don Henley have huge
Don
huge
Henley career. Was the king,
I know, mm-hmm. In the 80s. Then you had, you know, Stevie Nicks, along with, you know, from Fleetwood Mac. She had,
and Lindsey Buckingham had some stuff out too then.
And you, I'm gonna say there was, I mean, there was something for everybody in the 80s. And now that you – but it was one of these things, and I was very guilty of it back in the 80s. I was a snob. I mean, I was like, you know, you screw you guys. I'm into this – you know, I had tunnel vision. I'm into this music, and all the rest of you guys are idiots, and your music sucks, and blah, blah, blah. But as you get older and you start being less of a dick – You start listening back to this music. I mean, there was stuff that I liked to hear. I was more I was a closet listener. You know, there was things like, you know, I'd be pumping my fists and shit like that, and I get in the car and I The Fix would come on, and I'd be Red Skies, and I'd be like, well, that's a kick ass song. I'm not going to tell anybody it's a kick ass song, but I liked it. You know, so But, oh, you know, when you get older, then you start and then you start going back and listening to these people again with a different sense and a different perspective of their music. And then it's like, damn, these guys weren't as near as bad as I thought, and actually better than probably what I thought at the point. And then you got also, I got to thinking about real quick before we get into our favorite stuff, the hair band against the alternate people or whatever you want to call it, the guys that were all like the flock of seagulls and the shit, like, you know, people like that.
That's the new wave type.
And even there was guys here in Evansville, they were kind of the gothy kind of people that had their own music and stuff. But if you look at the two and you take the music away, all right, just think about everything but the music. You had fans that were, I mean, extremely dedicated to that music. It was very non-gender based as far as, you know, guys look like girls, girls look like guys. You know, it was kind of odd. Everybody looked weird, you know, dressed as far as their spectrum that they could go. And, you know, there was, and if you look at the same, you know, you take the music away, these two groups of people should have been buddies because they were actually the same type people. It's just the music that they're listening.
We're all a bunch of weirdos.
Yeah.
But you make a really good point because
it's the same thing. It's just the music you listened to was different, but you did everything the same. You know what I'm saying? You went to extremes to one side of the rainbow to the other side of the rainbow of that, or a spectrum, or what do you want to say? But they hated each other. You know what I'm saying? They were it was really weird. And I got another.
Well,
story.
I think the bands. I mean, loyalty to your genre of music was it. I mean, you dove in pretty much head first,
right?
Which is, you know, that's, and I think you're right. You know, your point's very well taken. I think that definitely there were bands that, I mean, genres of music that they did not, you didn't kind of cross over.
No,
at all.
No,
punk and rock and, you know, hair metal didn't really cross over. You didn't typically find Metallica in the CD, you know, on a Metallica cassette and a Madonna cassette together.
Right.
But there's a lot of people that probably really listened to Madonna too.
If anybody had looked at my music collection back then, you would have seen.
Yeah, it's the same thing. You know, Mine's the same way.
You would have seen that Metallica and Madonna there together.
Right.
Yeah, but I don't think that's probably I don't think that was everybody.
But you didn't go out to say like.
I did not go out dressed like Madonna.
You didn't go to Kramer's with a Madonna shirt.
Oh, you do that
on,
now.
You're gonna get your ass beat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of, you know,
and the band scene back then too was really. That's one thing I like about now because I'm back to, you know, playing in bands, and now, you know, we talk a lot, you know, through the internet, and we've got a page set up where we talk to, you know, the bands, and if we can't get, you know, if our gig, something happens, you know, we'll find somebody else to play this gig, and if we need somebody, you know, we got a guy out, you know, our singer's out or something, somebody else, and they'll help out. You know, back in the 80s, that shit didn't happen. We would, you know, it was better to stab. I mean, people were stabbing people in the back. I mean, people didn't talk. You know, you went it was funny. You go to a concert and there'd be a band and they're all standing there like this, four guys, and there'd be another band. They're standing there like this, and they're, both of them are sitting there going, "Those guys are assholes. They suck. They blow." You know this, and it's not.
Have you ever seen the video of? I'm trying to think of what the show was. Doc McGee's on the plane, and I think they're going to Moscow to play the Moscow Music Festival. And it's the first time
all those guys are getting polluted.
You know, all those hair metal had been together in one, and you know, some of those guys really, they acted like they hated each other. So I can't remember the documentary, but it was about it wasn't Live Aid, but it was one of those, the Glasgow music.
That first Russian thing,
something like that. Some big music festival. Yeah. Anyway, we're digressing because we keep talking about hair metal.
But we'll get to that anyway.
Yeah,
but like I said, that's what it was. So anyway, but what we're going to talk about today is the stuff that you didn't, that, you know, what cassette was rubbing up against your Iron Maiden and your Poison.
Go-go.
You know, we all had our stuff that we listened to back then, and like I said, mine has actually has opened up a lot in the last few years, because I find more that I do like that I didn't like back then, or didn't give a chance to listen to. It wasn't the fact that I didn't like it. It's just I didn't give myself a chance to listen to it. You know, say like, you know, and I'll give you, for instance, you know, Men at Work. You know, I knew their stuff. I really didn't think much about it. And I still don't care for the radio hits. But there's some really good music on this. You know, I mean, I don't like It's a Mistake. That stuff like that, I really like that song. And there's some acoustic versions of stuff that Colin's been coming out with lately that are really good. I mean, you sit there and listen to them, and I'm like, holy shit. You know, that's a really good song.
He's a really talented individual. He
is extremely talented. And I think their saxophone player here passed away, wasn't it? A year or two ago.
It hasn't been that long. It's been a few years back. Yeah.
But, actually, he was on is that the lead guitar player that sang Colin Hay. The songs? Yeah. So he was on they had this series on called Greatest Hits through the summer. It was on. He was on one of those, and he played.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Oh, he's really good.
It was pretty good. He played the song. But it wasn't – I thought it was – yeah. It was good stuff.
He probably played Down Under, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I don't really care much for because it got played way too much. But if you start going on some of the other stuff, then I
– That song you can put really high on my list of hokey videos.
Oh, yeah. And they were.
Oh, my gosh. The videos were –
Well, how many hokey videos did they have on MTV? Let's see.
Every one of them. Every one of them.
So,
except for Thriller.
So what's some, Alan, not a hokey some video. Stuff you listen to?
What was hell.
Just some of the bands or songs that you liked back then?
Well, I'm kind
other,
of...
And other than the hair side
other
of it.
Than the hair side, the Voice is Carried by Till Tuesday.
Mm.
That's a badass song, you know. Oh,
yep.
You know, Talking in Your Sleep by the Romantics.
That is on my list. I love that
have,
song.
They have two hits.
Exactly.
That is the one that I will listen to every time.
The only thing that bugged me about that guy's got a lisp, a real bad lisp.
Oh, just get over yourself.
It always when I watch it on the video, it was
really
yeah. Talking in your sleep, he goes sleep. If you listen to it, seriously. Oh,
I believe you have a hearing impediment.
Oh, because my wife and I used to both make fun of it. It was funny.
Wow, that's weird. No, I like that song. I actually saw them. They opened for somebody in Evansville, and I don't remember who it was.
So did they do two songs and then leave?
They did like four songs, and the last song they did was that, and everybody was like, yeah. And it was good. It was good.
Well, I know the Romantics had a hard time staying together because the drummer sang the other hit that they had. And
yeah, what was the other hit they had? I'm trying to...
What I Like About You.
Yeah, What I Like About You. And which we do now, but it's the other... of it. Yeah.
Just had it in his head that he was the band.
Mm. Yeah, you know, well,
I've read several stories.
Is his name Bobby Blotzer?
It's a drummer thing. You wouldn't understand.
Bobby Blotzer.
Yeah, that is so funny.
Dude, you are not Rat.
Poor Bobby.
Tell that guy. You're not even a mouse. Just get you're
the drummer.
All right. Some other ones that I've got. Eric Clapton had a shit gob of hits.
Oh, he did.
But one song, I believe it came out in 83, was Rock and Roll Heart.
Mm-hmm.
You never hardly hear that song now.
All right.
You know, I mean, when it came out, I heard it all the time. And then I probably went 25 years without
hearing
it.
There again, that's another person whose career
came back,
you know, came back
a couple of different times, you know.
In the 80s. I mean, he had a
real... Is that when The Color of Money came out? Because he really hit it big then, because he had the...
Yeah,
it's in the way that you use it. Or
I think MTV though helped him out a lot too.
He was
MTV friendly. He had a good, you know, he had a good look, and I think MTV helped him a lot also.
That's somebody I've never seen that I really would like to see.
Yeah, what's I
that?
Agree.
Oh, Clapton.
Yeah, I've never seen either. And he's got some really good stuff out. He's one of my favorites.
Okay.
All right. So you done with a couple?
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. So I got a couple. So a song that I love, and actually this is one of Noah's favorites too, is She's a Beauty by the Tubes.
Yeah.
Oh, I always like that video.
The video's cool, yeah. And that song, I just cranked that song up. I love that song. From an album perspective, I remember this. I remember driving in the car, getting picked up, walking to my buddy's house in the morning on the way to school. We'd ride to school with the windows down. And John Cougar Hurts So Good as loud as you could play it. And I just bought that vinyl, and we listened to it. We've listened to it a couple times. Great. I mean, that is a really, really good album.
It is good.
The last two bands that I was in did that song.
I do that song. I mean, the whole album. And we do great. Pink Houses and that one. We do it back to back a lot of times.
Yeah, and then after that album, you can pretty much just throw the rest of them in the trash. After that, or after Pink Houses. And then
I like the Scarecrow album.
Well, if you want to hear them live, you can come to Crickets this weekend in Newburgh, Indiana. And
if I was home, I would.
I like the Scarecrow album and the what's the one with Paper and Fire?
Yeah, I don't
Lonesome
like that.
Jubilee?
Yeah.
Both of those are really good albums.
When he started getting political, I just went, you're done. I just don't have any.
See that?
I don't want my
that was '90s though when that came out. Yeah, Paper and Fire. That was '87.
Paper and Fire was in the '80s.
That was '87 because I remember
that was before I graduated high school and I was working for my aunt on the weekends and I always played the jukebox.
We played
four of those 45s out.
Well, I played
right,
with
I'll
Rod.
Rip off a couple more here and we'll keep going. Right. So, The Clash, Rock the Casbah. That's the only song of theirs that I care for.
That song.
I heard it just the other day, and I was like,
Yanking
it. It's a pretty cool song.
This is not Yank It or Crank It.
Okay,
Dennis.
Sorry.
I
never quite got The Clash. Never did.
I think every Eddie Money song was awesome.
Oh, they're good, yeah.
I mean, he wasn't that metal stuff, but he was rock. Good, solid rock stuff. I like all of his stuff.
Well, he was a 70s rocker in the 80s.
Yep, he was.
He was.
Yep, and it worked really well for him.
Yep.
Made him a lot of money.
The two tickets was 70s, wasn't it? I mean, that was all in the 70s, and then he started having that other stuff. No.
If it was, it would have been, I don't know.
And anyway, but
I think
his
two
other
tickets
stuff
was late 70s, but
yeah, late 70s, but he came in, yeah. That came in the 80s.
All of that stuff came in the 80s.
Right. Good stuff. All right, I got more on my list, but keep going.
Okay. I really didn't write anything down because I listen to this shit most of the time when I sit in the garage.
This is not the Yacht Rock radio show.
No, well, one thing that Kelly, when I first met Kelly, she was a huge Police fan. And I really didn't get into the Police or didn't think much about them. But once I started listening to them, I really liked it. And I like the Doo Doo Doo. I love that song. And I like Don't Stand So Close to Me. I like that one.
I don't like the 1986 version of that.
No. The original version.
The original version is badass.
That new one was terrible. That was the last thing that they actually recorded, wasn't it?
I believe it was.
They were just pissed off at each other, and they said, let's see how we can screw this song up. Screw up a great classic song, you know? But, yeah, as far as that, and then going through, like I said earlier before, The Fix, Red Skies. I love that song. That's one of the ones that I listen to all the time. Like I said, there's just almost anything that's not like, I don't like Dexy's Midnight Riders. Ooh, that's a
I've
bad
never
one.
Heard of them. I've heard of Dexy's Midnight Runners though.
Or Runners.
I like that song.
Riders, Runners.
I like that song. It's a song.
It's cool. Actually in my soundcheck playlist.
But Alive and Kicking, you know, my damn it.
NXS?
No. NXS had a song, and the only song I really liked from them was their first song that was on MTV, and it was called Don't Change. And it's, I don't know if you've ever heard it. If you ever get a chance, it's off their first album. And they're basically playing in a back of a – or they're playing in a warehouse, and they get on a pickup truck and then start throwing their guitars and shit as they're driving away. But the song's called Don't Change. That's a really good song. And then I get into shit like, I mean, I'll admit it, you know, Spandau Ballet and True.
Absolutely.
That's a good song.
I love that song. Then you get into like Human League, you know, and the
Fascination. Song. I love that song.
And Fascination and Human. I mean, I like that stuff. I mean, I know that really gets into the new wave. I mean, the other
don't,
side.
Don't forget about Don't You Want Me. That's a good one, too.
All those songs. I mean, I like those guys. And then, like I said, I listen to Del Bonio. Is that right? Did I get that right? With the Missing Persons.
Oh, yeah.
Bonzio or Bonio. Yeah. But I like that stuff, you know.
Alive and Kicking was by Simple Minds.
Yeah, Simple Minds.
Yeah, and I like them, too. I have that.
See, another band that I got into after the fact that when they hit on MTV was Berlin. Because, you know, they promoted the singer more than they promoted the band. But if you go back, you know, like Metro and Sex, those songs are just awesome songs. I mean, they're but they're just different. I mean, they're just a different type of song. But anyway, go ahead, guys.
You spoke of the Police. My favorite Police song is Synchronicity 2.
Yeah,
like, about the Loch Ness Monster and the talking about driving to work in shiny metal boxes.
Right.
I love that song. I mean, that's one of those songs, if I listen to it when I'm in the car, I have to turn my cruise control on.
I'm not a big police. I mean, I had Ghost in the Machine. You know, that was big and popular, but I don't know. I hear them now, and I'm like, ugh. I don't. It's a band that I did listen to a little bit back then, but now I just can't. I don't like it.
Well, I think after they did their reunion, they turned a lot of people off to them because their reunion was really just a big train wreck.
It didn't.
See, I mean, you know what? I've actually got the DVD and the DVD and the CD, that pack of when they went on, and I still have not watched it. I don't know why I bought it, and
God is saving. I just
put it in there. No, but it may be one of those things where my brain's telling me not to watch it because you're going to ruin the magic of what I was. You know, don't watch it because they're a bunch of assholes.
Don't watch it.
Because I do like Sting. I mean, I've got some of Sting's stuff that he did solo, and I like that. But
I'm not that's a band that has never.
He's a little more on the save the world kind of bullshit. You know, I kind of want to give away, but anyway.
Yeah, couple of more I've got. I'm not a big Kinks fan, but the song Destroyer.
I love that song.
That's another one of those songs.
It's a crankest.
put that one on our list, Dennis.
Yeah. Oh, I do. Actually, I got that on. I think I bought that cassette one time.
I like that. I think there are four Kink songs that I really know and really like really well.
And they're all the same song.
The very first.
See, don't they all sound the same?
The very first band that I was ever in, we did Destroyer. That's probably one of the reasons that I like that song so well.
I do like that song a lot.
But, the Breakup Song is another good one.
Oh, that's a great Greg Kinn.
Yeah. He's actually the first celebrity that ever followed me on Twitter. That was kind of cool.
That's awesome.
Really?
Yeah. And I'll give one more, and then I'll let Dennis have another round of it. Union of the Snake by Duran Duran.
That's a good song.
Actually, there's a lot of Duran Duran music I like.
I just found out something the other day, and I shouldn't say that it changes things, but it kind of makes me question. My wife doesn't like Duran Duran.
Really? Why?
Question her.
Really?
Just one of those bands she never got into.
Oh, you mean because, okay. Yeah, I thought maybe she knew something we didn't know about. No, actually, the Duran Duran, there's nothing that they've done that I don't like. And you know, they're kind of, well, you know, their stuff kind of goes over good everywhere, you know.
Well, you know, they are a guitar band.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hell, they went,
was it Andy Taylor?
Andy Taylor went into the Power Station. Yeah, that was a good band, too.
Bang-A-Gong. Their cover of Bang-A-Gong is badass.
Is that Robert Palmer?
Robert
Palmer. The lead singer?
Yeah.
Which he's dead now, too. He had a heart attack.
Yeah.
He's been gone for probably about a 10 while. Years or so.
Yeah, he died a long time ago. Go ahead, Bill.
All right, so I got, you know, I did listen to Prince. Prince was somebody I was really into. We talked about that before, so I liked him. Lisa and I really got into stuff. We were dating back then. So Huey Lewis and the News, that was a band that we really both
couldn't get away from those guys, though. I mean, they
pumped it out every single time they touched something. It was gold. It was like,
well, hell, that one album, every song on there was a hit.
Four and Sports
was like this. I mean,
they're two greatest hits albums.
Right. Exactly.
Well, it's funny because I've got a Huey Lewis and the News greatest hit, you know, and Laura's got both the Four and the Sport album, and I was looking, I'm like,
right. Yeah, there's like eight songs.
We've duplicated all of this music.
Yep. Let's see. Let's see. What else I have on here? Michael Jackson. I did like Michael Jackson. I think the video stuff through the 80s.
We sit and waited for King. Thriller to come really on quite, MTV. We sit and waited there in my old apartment. Remember?
We watched I was downloading. I actually downloaded a couple of songs from the library, some, you know, from Michael Jackson's Greatest Hits album or whatever. And I was playing one of them in the car the other day. Noah was listening to it. He goes, "That's pretty good." I said, "Man, you got to see the video to this song."
Right.
And it's if you remember the time, is that the song?
Mm.
where he's the Egyptian and he keeps morphing into these different things.
Oh,
and,
yeah. What? Yeah.
Ooh, that's black and white?
That's no, black, it's called.
Yeah, that's when he's morphing, that's black and white.
No, no, he did morphed in the other one, too, because he morphed into the sand. He became a snake and did some other stuff.
Oh. I've never seen that one, I don't guess.
You need to watch it. That, anyway. Look it up. All right. Then I kind of got into a country thing in the 80s.
Yeah.
Hank Jr. Yeah,
you went to
Alabama.
I went to a couple of Hank Jr., went to some Alabama stuff.
Alabama came to Evansville like every
other day.
Tuesday. Like, we got Friday. Alabama. Friday.
Yeah, so I did, I definitely hit, oh gosh, I probably saw Hank 4 or 5 times somewhere in there.
Was he ever sober?
I think he was some. But the last time we saw him was the last time we saw him because he wasn't sober, and I'm like, I'm never paying to see that again. But I mean, I just it was just rowdy music and different, and it was pretty cool. So I was into him. And we listened to Ronnie Millsap, some old country stuff that kind of had made it through the '80s. It had made it through, and but even in talking about music in the '80s, it's not hair metal. '80s country changed in the '80s. It went from that Conway Twitty, Mel Tillis.
You know that is a discussion that.
Version.
That is a discussion that even though this is a rock podcast, I think that's kind of a discussion worth having at some point because you hear people talking about tractor rap and bro country now, how country music has changed. Well, it changed when we were teenagers too.
Yeah, it did.
You know,
it changed a bunch.
So it would be interesting, like I don't know if either one of your dads listened to country music, what they thought of Randy Travis and Alabama and all of those. That would be a conversation.
Yeah, I listened to a lot of that back then. I mean, my dad didn't. He wasn't into it at all.
But the old country people, like you said, Alan, the old country people thought those them long haired kids coming in, they were all blah blah. And now they got them. Now it's all.
And
like,
then here it is, our generation. Our generation is doing the same thing.
Yeah, I remember in country when Keith Whitley first came out, there was an interview that George Jones and somebody else had done, and I forget what show it was on, and they were just. Hammered, and he had that long curly hair, and he just let that poor kid have it. But so I listened to a lot of that stuff. I mean, I got a ton of that country '80s country stuff, and there was some good stuff in there. But it's interesting because a friend of mine posted something on Facebook. They went to see Brantley Gilbert, and they were talking about all the pot they could smell. And I said pot at a country concert? ? And they were like, well, is it pot at every concert? And I said, no. I said, because you went to a country rock concert because they're trying to be rock, but they don't really have a rock bone in them. So they're making it like be country so they have a place to sell their stuff. So I just don't have much. I don't care for that stuff here. Be a genre. Pick one, damn it. I don't care what it is. Just pick one. He's got – I don't know if you've seen that guy, but his microphone's got like a pair of brass knuckles.
No.
Yeah, and I'm like, dude, really? Come on.
Well, the plus side, if he's got his fingers in the brass knuckles, he's not cupping the mic.
Yeah, no shit.
Well, but he does that too, so that didn't help.
Yeah.
But what?
That was a nightmare right there.
All right, what else you got?
All right, well, a couple of like, these one-hit wonder kind of people. I mean, like Randy Newman and Cars. I dig that
great
song.
Great song.
But there again, he didn't do anything other than that. I like Madness, that Our House song.
I was just getting ready to say that.
I love that song. Now, the thing is, I liked Cyndi Lauper. I didn't like Girls Have Fun, that bullshit. But Time After Time and True Colors, man, she has got a voice that's just. And she's did some stuff here recently where they do with like a dulcimer and they're like she's in this acoustic bullshit going on.
Yeah.
And I mean,
I was going to say,
she's really good.
Her rendition of that acoustic is badass.
Oh, it is badass. And it's like one of those things where, she come out as this comical, kind of almost cartoonish character, but the girl's got, and then, that stupid accent that she plays upon or whatever. But no, she's got a voice that just doesn't stop. I'm just going to say the word. Pat Benatar. I'm gonna leave it at that.
Oh, I left her. She's in my rock list.
Anything she's done.
Now I have seen Pat Benatar in concert,
and I have not seen her a few times. I want to see. That's like she's on my list. And this is kind of funny too. The Go Go's. I like the Go Go's music.
Absolutely.
Well, you got to talk about the girl. Think about all the girl groups.
Here
Go-Go's,
again,
the Bangles.
There again, did you see that thing with Mitch this week? Did you see that little conversation that happened? It was really funny. A thread off of one of his deals. He was talking about, okay, Metallica and Guns N' Roses come to your town.
Oh, yeah.
Go to.
Yeah.
And I said, I'd rather see the Go-Go's than Metallica. And that thread went, whoosh. Everybody's like, Belinda Carlisle, man, she's hot. Hub, hub, hub. It was like all these metal guys are like going, man, we like the Go-Go's. They're hot, you know. But no, yeah, there again, the 80s was a resurgence on your gal bands.
It's interesting because that was the resurgence of the girl bands, and then the 90s came and you had all the boy bands.
Yeah. And, I mean, you had Vixen.
Well, I guess the 2000s.
On the hair, the hair side of it. You know, you had all kinds of stuff going on. But anyway.
Dennis probably will never admit it, but he probably likes Mickey by Tony Basil.
Oh, I played it at that wedding Saturday night. It's a catchy song.
It is. I mean,
it's one of those things where, you know, and Love Shack and all.
See, now the thing is he doesn't know, but one of the people in the wedding party probably caught him back there doing the cheer with Mickey.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, though, it is funny to watch. Like when you're doing something like that, I was bored shitless.
Being a wedding DJ is entertaining.
And you put YMCA on, and it's like to see them.
They lose their shit.
Like, they lose their shit. It's like, I mean, everybody from like 12 to 95, they're all
12.
Yeah. It's amazing how many people can't spell.
I'm going to take this is a side. This is what I was going to tell you earlier. But I forgot, and I'm going to throw this in here real quick because this is just a really funny DJ story. This little girl came up with her mom, and she wanted to hear Anaconda, okay? And she goes, do you have Anaconda? I said, and I looked in my computer. It was one of those files that you gave me, Al, but it showed, it said explicit on it.
Yeah.
And I said, look, I said, and your mom's like, I go, I got it. And her mom's like, are you happy now? And I'm like, I tell you what, I said, I've got an explicit version. Let me see if I can look up on my phone and get you a cleaner version of it. And I will try to get it on. She's like, thank you. So I'm like, while I'm doing that, the next thing I pull up, and this is no shit, I pull up Moni Moni. The next thing I know is the whole wedding group and her mom are out there going, everybody, let's, whatever they say. Get fucked. They're on.
Yeah.
I'm like, going, I'm worried about what Nicki Minaj is going to say. And her mom's out there just going, fuck. I'm like, really? That was a funny. I mean, I was like going, well, I guess I can play it now. But then I end up forgetting about it. And I didn't.
Well, one of our episodes, I guess we'll talk about shit that happens at weddings when you DJ.
That's funny. But I was going to tell that earlier
anyway,
before we got started, so I'm sorry.
Back to the show.
Yeah, back to the show. Anyway, Alan, go ahead.
Oh, let's see if I can find my place here. Joan Jett and the Black Hearts, Do You Want to Touch?
Yep.
Yes.
You know, her covers, I like her cover songs.
We both at the same
much,
time.
Went, much yes. better.
Not you, Bill.
And I'm trying to get past that because you guys are pervs.
Whatever.
And she didn't write that
I
as a
I am pretty
song.
Sure that we were both yeah. standing next to you singing that song very loudly.
Yeah. Yes, I was
just
there.
A few months ago.
It was a few back. Weeks ago. It was about a month ago.
It was a month ago, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a month ago.
But anyway, yeah, that one. Actually, most of the covers that she's done, I really like. I like her covers better than her original stuff.
All but Crimson Cloak.
I like her a lot. I
like that cover, too.
Do you? I don't care much. It goes on too long.
Yeah. I won't disagree.
Crimson and Clover.
But so did the Tommy and who did that?
Yeah, it's just a long
James
song.
And the Shondells.
It was a long version of theirs too. So the original. So.
Drive by the Cars. You know,
I have the Cars on my list for sure.
Like those guys.
I like the Cars. Didn't like them live, but liked them.
Yeah, I heard that they weren't very good live.
No, they were horrible, actually. It was a show that we left early.
Horrible.
And it was.
Horrible.
The opening band was horrible, and they were horrible. It was just bad.
Well, while we're speaking of the Cars, Benjamin Orr did a solo project, and he did a song called Stay the Night, which is a really good song. And I had actually forgotten
about
it.
He's dead. Did he drown?
He died. No, he died from pancreatic cancer.
Oh, okay. I was say one of it was a guy from Loverboy who drowned, the bass player.
Yeah, the bass player.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he fell off of a boat out in the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah,
found him.
Really?
Yeah. That's been a long time ago.
That's been a long time ago.
Yeah. So Stay the Night by Benjamin Orr and Stay the Night by Chicago.
Yeah. Chicago, there again, that was another band who had a decade.
Big resurgence.
Resurgence,
and a lot of it. In the 80s.
Well, if you guys watched that show Greatest Hits, when they had Chicago on there, the only original members of Chicago that are left are a couple of
the horn section.
The horn players. But now, you know, that's one thing that they brought up was, you know, one of the managers or a producer wanted to change direction with the band and wanted Peter Cetera to sing more.
Right.
You know, so when he started singing more, they started getting more hits.
Yep.
Which on the plus side got Chicago back on the map. But on the downside, it ended up causing Peter Cetera to leave the band because they were having creative differences.
Right. So yeah. Chicago being a big band as it is already, how many people have been through that band since the inception of like Chicago, you know, Transit Authority, from that band to
how
right
many
now?
So how many people did they induct in the Hall of Fame?
I don't know.
I think they only inducted
27.
We have 57 people coming through right now.
Good grief. I mean,
it's funny because they take a band like that and they'll induct every member that's ever been
in. I know we're going to get into that.
And then when they got Deep Purple, they're like, we're going to let two of you get in there.
You want to get, are you going to do Kiss? Are you going to do, we're not going to get into this.
We're not going to talk about that.
Any more.
All right. Well, I've got like three or four more songs, but I'll let Bill go ahead and do his batch next.
All right. So I had the Babies. Was a band I thought was really good. I liked them. It was John Waite and those guys.
70s, though. See, John Waite had
more
his...
70? Oh, I guess so. No,
70s. John Waite, though, had his own...
Yeah, and Bad English was after that, too.
Bad English with a couple of those guys from Journey.
But John Waite had that song, a couple songs that I liked, too, before he got into Bad English. He had his own little solo career.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. All right, well, I was thinking about the Babies.
But I do like the Babies, though. I'll give it to you.
And there was a band called Big Country. They were
living in a big country.
Country. And they're riding three-wheelers.
Yep. I like that. I like them. They were pretty good. I don't know. I think I'm about listen two out here. Survivor, I like them. I like most of their stuff.
Yeah.
Vital Signs, I think, is a really good album. I bought that. We have that. 38 Special is one of my favorite bands of all time. Period.
They've been through the 70s and 80s. You know, they had a resurgence. Also through that.
Yep.
And like I said,
I kind of got into in the 80s too. I mean, I just listened to everything, I guess.
Well, the thing is you had new music coming from every freaking direction in the 80s, not like you do now.
But see, also back in a time where if we turned on WSTO, you were getting new pop. If you turned on KC103 or WGBF, I'm not sure when it switched over format, you were getting new rock off of that.
Right.
And if you turned to WKDQ or WBKR, you were getting new country.
Country.
Yep.
You get new everything.
Tons and tons and tons of new music.
But there again, back then you were selling, they were selling lots of, everybody was making money in the 80s. There wasn't nobody not making money. If you had a record out, you were making money. Your company, your record company was making money. Your managers were making money. Everybody was making money at that point. And that's why the new music and everybody continued. I mean, some of the music maybe not should have been made, but there was a lot of stuff made in the 80s.
Yeah, that's when I started getting into some contemporary Christian music too. That's when I got onto Amy Grant.
Right.
It was about 1984, 1985. Right. Cause I thought she was hot.
Hot,
I-K-W. Kind of.
We saw her, and actually, I tell you, the first time we saw her in concert, we saw her in Evansville, and Lisa and I were at Osco's in the mall. Remember when Osco's was in Eastland Mall?
Right.
You don't remember? I remember
that.
I didn't move to Evansville.
Yeah, so we were at Osco's in Eastland Mall, and I'm standing at the magazine section, and she comes walking up beside me.
Really?
And says, magazine too. I dropped the magazine.
You say hi.
Ran down around the corner. I grabbed Lisa. Said, I think Amy Grant's standing over there, and she walked over. She goes, she looks kind of around the corner. She goes, no, that's really her. You don't have to think. And I couldn't go back over and pick the magazine up. I was like, hold up.
You didn't do anything. Wow. Now, she's that's the one that married Vince Gill, right? Gill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I had.
You told us that story, Dennis.
I already told you the story.
Yeah.
Okay. But you gave us a concert review.
Yeah.
No, I said the fact of if Vince ever comes home with another song that's written about another woman, I wonder if she'll realize it because he wrote that song about Amy and brought it home when he was married to his wife. You know, it's like going, if he writes another love song that doesn't pertain to Amy, maybe she'll realize it. Who's he been with lately? Is he been,
that's funny.
He's been singing with somebody.
Well, the interesting thing about that, when you talk about that, is you know, her husband at the time, Gary Chapman, was also an artist in the, you know, Christian world. And then when she, you know, at that time too, if you're a Christian artist and you ended up getting divorced, you just fell off the planet. Or if you found, if they found out that you had cheated on your wife, your record label was gone. You just fell off the planet.
But if it's Vince Gill that you're the one that you're messing with,
well, and then and when that happened, there was a lot of backlash. I mean, she got some huge backlash from it, but I think her, you know, she was established enough that she could, you know, work through it.
And the thing was, because Kelly was bringing me, because I didn't know anything about this. Kelly knew a little bit more about this situation. And she said, oh, yeah. She said, because I said, was this a big thing when that happened? She says, oh, my God. So they were, it was huge.
It was
huge.
His wife was also on everything. Janice is all. I mean, Janice Gills, I think that was her name. She also had an album out too.
I didn't know she was a performer.
Yeah. So it was crazy. I mean, I remember it was a little bit crazy.
And being the fact that she was a Christian artist too. I mean, that was just on top of that.
There were four or five of them that all around that same time had done that, and it was big.
But there again, like I said, the 80s was a, getting back to topic, the 80s was a plethora of music on any topic. Like I said, if you were in the 80s and you was like, going, man, there's nothing good to listen to, there's something wrong with you. I mean, there really is. Because, I mean,
unlike today.
Yeah, we're just begging for new music.
But of course, we're old.
Exactly.
We're begging for the 80s. That's what we're talking about.
But no, other than that, I didn't have really. I mean, of course, I could see her all night. You know, I was into Devo kind of, but that was still more 70s, 80s. Like I said, Missing Persons before. But, you know, I give myself now, I listen to a lot of that stuff. I'll find myself in the garage. I'll put on a playlist of 80s music. And you don't see me going over and going, oh, I hate this or I hate that, unless it's just something really retarded. You know, I don't turn it off. Because I appreciate it more now, and I appreciate a lot of different music now. So, but that's what happens when you get older and you stop being a jerk and your mind opens up
a little bit more.
At least
you stop being a musical jerk.
Yeah, no shit. Oh yeah, I've
seen him before. I think he is a musical jerk.
Yeah.
I think it's. I mean, yeah. Good topic.
Yeah, I thought so too. Like I said, because there was a lot of, and like I said, the more I got thinking about it, and the more I getting into the 80s, I'm like going, holy shit, there was such a resurgence, and people's careers, you know, were changed because of the 80s.
That segues into my last three artists, actually.
Perfect.
Go.
Billy Joel's You May Be Right.
Holy shit, I forgot about him. Yeah.
Bob Seger, Her Strut.
Right.
I mean, that is my all-time favorite Seger song.
I used to play that, actually. Yeah,
and I would love to be in a band that played that song.
Oh, we'll do it.
I would like to be in a band.
Put that on the list.
And Don Henley's Dirty Laundry. God, that is such a great song. Such a well-written song. I mean, you know.
If I was going to go Don Henley,
I would. He got his point across, too.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was about as direct as you can get. As a matter of fact, I was listening to the radio this morning on the way to work, and Dire Straits' Money for Nothing came on. Because we were talking.
That's a song. I cannot stand that song.
I don't like it, but if
can't
you listen
stand
to the,
it.
If you listen to the words to it, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. Like,
see ya. Have a nice day.
Crank it. He's yanking it. I don't crank it either, but it was
just burning it.
But
my last band did that song.
Oh, I've heard a lot of bands.
No reason to.
Back in the day in the 80s, if you didn't play that song, something was wrong with you.
Yeah.
A lot of bands play that. But no, like I said, no, I appreciate, you know, I agree with you on those songs.
That's when being in a top 40 band was actually fun.
Yeah, no shit. And top 40 now.
Not the same.
Ain't going to happen.
Not the same.
But anyway, no, but like I said, everybody's got their own ideas. So, you know, if anybody has some of their favorites that they want to let us know about, please put it on our page, our Facebook page, or
who'd we forget?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, I'm sure we forgot a shit gob of people.
Oh, I know. That's what I want to know.
The Safety Dance. Tell us who we forgot.
Oh, see,
I thought about that too. I was going to bring that up, but I just couldn't do it.
Well, I've got a
see, the thing is, if you're going to,
I bought
bring
a pack of CDs called Rock the First in the early 90s, and it's got like Mexican Radio, The Safety Dance.
See, you know, Mexican Radio.
A whole bunch of those one hit wonders.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I have to dig that out sometime and
share
those titles with you guys.
Yeah, I'd like to. We'll do Yank and Crank with that. That'd be kind of cool.
Well, it's a 5 or a 6 CD volume, so we have to
Do like maybe 10.
We use 10,
15, I don't know.
All right. Well, is that about cover it for tonight or this week?
I think that
will.
Something?
Yep. All right, folks. Agesofrock.com. Do your thing.
Do your thing.
Oh. I couldn't get my fingers to work. It's like 5:39.
Oh, I know what I was going to bring up.
Well,
shit.
Keep talking. I'm not.
Okay, here we go. Real
the
quick.
Show's over.
No, it's the funniest thing. No, the show's not over. Here's news
like
that I thought was funny.
When they start rolling.
Disney. Okay. As we're talking, here we go. Disney used in their Rock and Roll roller coaster for 17 years.
Yeah.
He had a shocker going.
And I wonder if he did it intentionally.
Did he? Maybe he just kind of went like it was like
I think
he
just kind of went like that.
He
if
went
you look
like
at
that.
It, it's kind of like that. It doesn't
like
look
that.
Like he's.
He just had one finger back. But
I think
of
he has
course,
a broken finger.
But of course, you know, 17 years later, Disney decides it's a shocker.
I would imagine somebody complained.
Can you imagine? I seen on the internet though. Could you imagine that meeting? They'd be like, "Going, what's the next business thing we got to come up with?" Sir, there's a shocker in one of our things. He goes, what's a shocker?
What's a shocker?
It's a two in the pink and one in the stink, sir. who's doing this? It's Steven Tyler, sir. He keeps giving the shocker to all the people. I see that. I was like, that's the funniest shit I ever seen.
All anyway. Right. And now for real.
Kick it out. We're out of here.
See you next week.
Later.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.